Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and a repentant advent unto you. Have you ever noticed that God's calling of Moses in the burning bush sounds a bit like a Christmas story? There was in that same country of Horeb a shepherd abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, by night. And the name of the shepherd was Moses. And lo, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire in the midst of a bush. And when the shepherd Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And he drew near to look, and the voice of the Lord came to him and said, I am the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And the shepherd Moses trembled, and he hid his face, for the glory of the Lord made him greatly afraid. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Fear not, for I have truly seen the ill treatment of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and I have come down to deliver them. And now, come, I am sending you to Egypt, and this will be a sign unto you. This bush that burns with fire is yet not consumed. I never seem to get to talk about angels as much as I would like to. Mostly because we don't really know that much about angels, and we really don't see fit to put it in the lectionary very often. But usually when we're getting to Christmas and Advent, it's time to talk about angels, at least a little bit. At least they're part of the story. The Hebrew word for angel is malak. It means nothing more than messenger. I remember it by remembering the prophet Malachi, because Malachi means my messenger. It's Malak, I, sort of like iPhone, just completely reversed and twisted around, but that's the way my mind works. I can always remember it. Malachi means messenger, my messenger. The Malak of the Lord. In the calling of Moses into the work of God for the rescuing of Egypt, the Malak of the Lord, the angel of the Lord. Now this messenger, this angel of the Lord, this messenger of the Lord, this message of the Lord, this can, by the way, and it can, don't get me wrong, please, internet, don't send me evil emails, I understand. It can be an angel, like, oh, it can be one of those created heavenly beings that God has created. Those angels serve God and they do His will, but God has more messengers than just the angelic beings. There are more. There are more types of messengers. Now we get it from Greek, the Greek word angelos. In Greek is translated into our English Bibles almost always as angel. Angel is Greek for, guess what? Messenger. It's a malak in Hebrew. But in Revelation, we have the term angel or messenger that's used to refer to the pastors of the seven churches. Did you hear that? Pastors are angels. There, I said it. I'm an angel. More precisely, I'm not just any old angel. I'm your angel. I am. I'm your Malachi, God's messenger unto you. In the Exodus, though, here we have this term angel, this malak, which is used in reference to the Son of God Himself. And we get there because of this extraordinarily strong I am language. And Moses continually refers to the voice, the conversation that's going on here, as the Lord. He believes he's not talking to a messenger. This is not an angel. This is the malak of God. This is the second person of the Holy Trinity. This is Christ Himself. Christ before His conception, before He was born, before He has taken on human flesh. John expresses this very similar thought in the opening verses of his gospel. Christ is the Word become flesh who has come to dwelt among us, the uncreated, eternal, divine message of the Lord, the divine angel of the Lord. Jesus is both message and messenger of His own message. He is God the Father's final word to us, his final word in love and hope and life. So what we have here in this account is the pre-incarnate Jesus speaking to Moses, calling Moses into his service. You notice how the Son of God here descends onto earth a lot like he does at Christmas. You notice how concrete it is. You notice how physical the second person of the Trinity is here. He appears as a flame of fire in branches of a bush that doesn't burn, a bush that is not consumed by the divinity of God being placed within it. It reminds me of Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. In the incarnation, the Creator enters into the creation in such a way that sinful people can't approach him, that we can approach the Lord God Almighty without fear. We can do it without being incinerated, without being destroyed. The bush, then, the burning bush, is a prophetic event. It foretells of a time when Christ would descend into this world again and permanently take on human nature. The Exodus is a foreshadowing of the reason for the Lord God's birth. The Lord Jesus announces to Moses from the bush that he has come to save his people. He has come to rescue them from his enemies. And in the same way, Jesus comes down at Christmas in order to rescue mankind. Mary and Joseph are told, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The Lord God descends to deliver us from our enemies who had enslaved us. He comes to rescue us from the power of our evil taskmaster, Satan. He has come to free us from the oppressive bondage to sin and death. And by Jesus' holy incarnation, Christ becomes a new Moses. This new Moses leads us out of darkness through the baptismal waters of the Red Sea and into the light of a promised land of all eternity to a new creation that God has laid in wait for. The one who appears in the fire says this: "Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." John chapter 8, verse 12. When Moses looks at this burning bush, he sees the burning of the fire, but the bush is not consumed. The bush is not burnt up. This tells us two things. First, it teaches us that the union between God and man that took place in the conception of Jesus, that this union is eternal and everlasting. Jesus is forever, and he is forever both fully divine and both fully human. The second fact that this teaches us is the fact that the bush was not consumed. When the divinity of God Almighty takes on the flesh of humanity, he does so not to bring judgment onto the world, but in order to bring salvation and redemption, because Jesus is not a fire of desolation. He is a light of revelation. Jesus is a light in the darkness. He is giving sight to the blind. He is the proclamation of deliverance, life, and salvation. John says this as well in chapter 3, verse 17. Jesus said, "God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." It is written in Scripture that no sinner can see God and live, but in this burning bush, and especially in this holy child of Mary, sinful man can and does see God. It is veiled behind an earthly form, but it is God nonetheless. And by taking on our human nature, we see that Jesus did not consume our human nature. God does not annihilate us. Instead, God permeates us. God fills our lives. And we're filled, we're literally filled with life. That we have life to share. That we have life to give. Jesus becomes like us so that we can become like him. That we have blessings and light to give away. Jesus also revealed his name to Moses from the burning bush. He says, "To this people of Israel say, I am, has sent me to you. Our Savior is the great I am.
The one who is, the one who was, the one who is to come. Jesus is the revelation of the divine name of God unto the nations. Jesus teaches us, I am the good shepherd, I am the light of the world, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who himself came to Moses in the burning bush as a branch now takes on human flesh and blood in order that you might become a branch. You're an extension of the Lord God Almighty. Apart from Jesus, the branches wither and die, and they're burned and thrown away in judgment. But abiding in the Lord God, our branches thrive. They share in this fire that does not consume humanity, but enlivens humanity. Jesus Christ is indeed the holy vine that took root in Bethlehem, has now spread throughout all of the world. Truly, then, this burning bush is a great sign of the coming of our Lord. This burning bush is an Advent story. It's a story about the coming of the Lord with a mighty arm and an outstretched hand. Just like Exodus is an Easter story, a living prophecy of Christ's incarnation, of Emmanuel coming to his people in a physical form that we can see and appreciate. As you prepare for the celebration of the nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray God that he would grant you the fire of the light in your heart with repentant love and with holy faith, that we might see us coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.